Rave on, brother.
We're going to give it a shot. First thing we got to do is on the ham fest. Now, on the ham fest.
Actually, you need to call the meeting to order.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we need to call the meeting.
Yeah. All right.
That would be you.
Just,
yeah.
Right. You want me to call
it? It is 6:38.
We're calling the meeting to order.
You got somebody your corner going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I got one.
Now it's time to be quiet.
Looking around. All right. At my request, our vice president is going to pretty much conduct the agenda tonight. Seeing as how most everything on this agenda he has had a lot more to do with than me. So I'm going to let him take off and run with it.
Okay. The first item I have there is a ham fest, May the 2nd. And, you know, May the 2nd seems like a long way away, but when you're staring down the barrel, it's not to put together a ham fest.
Yes, and I already got the ARRL. On their calendar, but I don't have any official anything. I can't send them anything about prizes and stuff or college.
Right. And that's part of what we're discussing. Part of one of the things we're going to try to tie down tonight. My suggestion, and I'll open it up for discussion afterwards, is to use the 2004 as kind of a template. What we did last year went pretty smooth. From my recollection, if anybody knows of any glitches, bring them to our attention and we'll try to smooth. We can use that as a template and try to improve on it. And when I say template, all we got to do on the website is change the dates, the years, and the prizes, okay, and send it out again.
Who controls that?
Huh?
Who controls that, Jason?
Well,
no. Or the website, yeah.
Yeah, website.
Yeah. Yeah. Website. Jason and I have discussed maybe co-chairing this ham fest thing. Jason's got a lot more business to take care of this year, so I'm going to try to jump in and help him and learn the ropes on chairing the ham fest committee. So this year we're going to co-chair it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay with the president. we've got to come up with the prizes. I think we get on down on the budgets. We talked about, I think, last meeting, possibly budgeting $1,500 for the total prizes on the raffle. All we got to do is say, do we want to go with the same admission price and the same table prices for the vendors?
Just,
because that's in there.
Yeah, just for those that don't know, the admission price of the Ham Fest was $5. Tables for all the vendors were $10. And it didn't matter whether a vendor got one table or they got 10, it was still $10 a table.
Okay.
So my suggestion is that we don't mess with the cost of the tables. I didn't have any vendors complain about the table costs. I can remember. The admission price was the only thing that was my suggestion that we consider lowering it, but nobody really agreed with my thought process on that, and that's okay too. I'm just one voice in this amongst the group, but that was just a thought I had.
Yes, David.
As far as the table rentals goes, I'd sure like to see it at $15 a table. I can tell you the reason why. If we go at $15 a table and we get 40 tables, that pays for our rental, the building rental. And that's all I got to say about that.
Let me ask you this, and I'm asking, this is a question. And since I haven't fielded a vendor on this, I'm just speculating, but if we had a vendor that was going to take 7 tables, and he fills 7 tables. If we raise the price to 15, he all of a sudden only wants 4 tables. Does that hurt us or help us?
Well, in that case, yes, it would hurt us.
Well, but we're going to sell those other tables to somebody else.
Yeah.
But now that big vendor doesn't bring as much stuff. We're talking about MTC. I mean, just so y'all know, I'm afraid if we raise the 15, he will not take seven tables.
Do you have any idea what he pays for his place?
Oh, yeah, he pays a lot more than that, but he gets on the main
floor. He pays about $85 per table.
Right, he gets a lot more.
MTC. That's what they charge in Plano for Amfest.
Right. Well, we got
$85 a table.
Yes.
Well, on the main floor,
and an extra like $75 if you have electricity in
and
there.
A table is considered a 10 by 10 area.
It's crazy.
Just so you understand what you're paying for there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not per table. It's a 10 by 10 area you're paying for.
That includes one table.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of adjusted.
Booth. That's booth rental.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that's how they do it there. So
I just looked at it this way. If we could get $15 a table and we sell 40 tables, that pays for our rental in the building.
Yeah, and I understand where you're coming from. I hate to raise the price on table rentals when we don't have a waiting list to cover $10 tables. And we had a problem filling and selling all of our $10 tables last year. Don't we think it's going to be a harder problem to sell $15 tables? I mean, when I've got a waiting list trying to get in the door to take vendors.
Can we meet in the middle of another crush?
Well, I'm just telling you where I'm at.
This way.
Yeah, I would be
that way. Yeah, it needs to be a multiple of $5.
I'm just telling you where I'm at. I'm not.
I agree with that. I'm in favor of 1276.
No, I'm not opposed to $15 tables. I am until we have a waiting list for tables, Lou.
Yeah. I'm afraid it's going to scare some people off if we.
Well, but what?
That's 50% increase.
But last year, just
what
so y'all know,
just said though that's astronomical figures they're charging down.
Oh,
there.
Absolutely.
I know we're not Plano,
but hang on.
Well,
how many people does Plano
like,
put through the door?
Even like Minden.
Yeah.
Charges $25 or $30 a day.
Right.
Minden does?
Yep.
No, then I think we're probably reasonable.
Yeah. But we don't have a waiting list for people wanting tables.
These vendors that travel to all these different HamFests, they're used to paying pretty good money for tables. I personally don't think an extra $5 is going to make a difference to them. And if it would make a difference to us as far as our success, I'm for it. But I don't want to scare anybody off, like you said.
Yeah, that's my concern.
I don't know.
Okay.
Our biggest vendor is MTC.
Let's take a vote here,
I don't think we're going. I don't think Richard is going to balk or even try to cut down on the amount of tables he's got for an extra $5 a table.
I think he will.
He's used to spending the kind of money that he does to be at MFest.
I think he will, based on the number of people that come through our door.
Yeah, but I just.
He just made a comment last year. That's the only reason I'm saying it.
Okay.
He has made those kind of comments every.
Yeah.
I know, but. Had four empty tables last year.
How many tables did Richard take
seven.
Last year?
He takes seven.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're talking an extra $35
yeah.
added onto his bill.
But we're talking about everybody. We're talking about
Houston
Amateur Radio. We're talking about Palmetto.
He's the biggest one. He's the one that would hit, it would impact the most. Okay. It's an extra $35.
I mean, if we've got 43 tables, we sold 40 of them last year. Well, we sold those other three, but those people didn't show up.
I thought last year we had people waiting for tables, but there weren't any.
No.
You have had some trouble placing them everywhere.
I had 10 empty tables the day before the HamFest, 2 days before the HamFest.
Well, I mean, just going with what you told me last year.
At the last moment, they filled up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was literally at the last moment, and we had to scrounge for tables all of a sudden.
Hmm.
But that happened happened that Wednesday before the HamFest started, you know.
I think if we did a little bit with a few more vendors, too.
Elias, can I?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, then. I'll back down and go with $10 this year.
Well, you don't have to do that.
This year,
telling you.
Next year, we go up to $15.
If everybody here wants to do that, I'm not opposed to it. I just gave my reasons for me.
Yes.
Okay, I'm next. Let's say we take a vote on this in the interest of time and whatnot, 10 or 15. Wait, you know, put the arms up here and take a vote.
Make,
like we're
make a motion.
Make a motion. I make a motion to go 15.
Any seconds?
Okay, well, that's
fine. Anybody,
what a dick curl.
Is anybody, you know, there's a lot of people sitting here that haven't voiced.
You couldn't second to me, you know.
Does, well, I'd be glad to. Is there anybody that does that thinks that going up an extra $5 per table is going to make a dramatic effect?
I think it probably would. I don't think it would. We're still in the building and the developing process. I think going up right now would be probably detrimental. I wouldn't have a problem doing it for 10 now and then maybe start announcing that our fee may increase for next year and start preparing someone, but to drop them on the doorstep right now, $5 more a table, when we're just months away, I think would be a little bit scary.
What has it been?
He just
10.
I mean, always been 10? Okay.
So this is only our third year.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're only 3 years into it.
Everybody else is talking about this thing. And we've got a ham fest that's going pretty good. And we've got more money in the treasurer than we ever had.
Yeah.
And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that $10 deal is kind of a
draw.
Hey, let's go to Texarkana. They put on a good show and the tables are practically nothing.
Yeah.
Let's go, you know.
I'm
bringing all the junk that we've got, you know.
Yeah.
And
I realize.
So I'm kind of. Now, if you wanted to, this year, when we start contacting people, we can kind of feel them out. Mm-hmm.
That was
so,
my
you
fault.
Know, y'all know that the Fair Association is kind of up the rent on our building.
Right.
And we'd kind of like to really look at expanding the building somehow or getting a different place.
We can ask them.
So we might.
What would you feel like?
We might have to be going to 15, maybe $20 on the table. How would you feel about that?
Give me years to think about it.
But from the people actually doing will pay for this deal. So let's stay with the $10 and then fail them out on 15 or 20.
Yeah.
All right. Is that the general consensus then? We just stay with $10?
Both ones again.
We have motion and a.
Actually, we don't have a second. I'll second his motion just so that we can have a vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do that.
So we have a motion and a second to go up to $15
mm-hmm.
per table.
Yeah.
All in favor? Do we have anybody in favor?
Two.
Okay. And all opposed to going up to $15? Raise your hand. There you go.
I'm not a voting partner.
Yeah.
As far as that goes,
I would let anybody in this room vote.
So we're staying at $10. So
we'll discuss.
There is a point about
we're
the
moving
fest that I do need to mention. I attended the Bendingham Fest and just happened to be at the Palmetto antenna table,
mm-hmm.
and he mentioned again that it would be his preference to be against the wall,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps we could create a false wall by one of these convention
curtains.
So all his.
Well, we've always tabling. Yeah, what we've done in the past is when we go to the vendors, we offer them the spot they had last year, and first. If they don't want to pay us for that spot, then we'll give it to somebody else. So he was against the wall last year, and he paid his money. So he would get that opportunity first.
Who was this?
Palmetto.
Jerry.
What?
Okay.
He was against the wall last
no.
year?
No.
Yes, he was.
No, he
was.
Yes,
he's out in the middle.
He was not.
He's the wire guy that's got the reels.
No, he
and
was
everything.
Not. He was against the wall, guys.
That was Houston.
Yeah.
Houston Amateur Radio was right in the front door, and you walked in the front door in the U-shape.
Palmetto was back there by the side door as you walked out.
Palmetto
I place these guys. I'll tell you where they are. I know where they are.
Year before last.
He's against the wall.
Year before last,
yes.
He was in that front
The first
spot.
Year, he was
and
in the middle.
And he did not want that again.
Because
he
did not.
Water.
Right.
We were able to give him that last year.
I stand corrected.
I know. I can tell you. I can draw that on paper right now and see where everybody was
it's
at.
It's real easy to get Palmetto and JMR confused.
Yeah, they're
Palmetto
directly across from each other.
Yeah.
Palmetto,
across the building.
Jerry's a big bear-looking guy. And
Okay.
All right. So as far as admission price, we everybody still okay with the $5?
Yeah.
Okay. Question, if I may.
Uh-huh.
If we're going to, we haven't got that far yet. We're going that direction right now on the prizes, right?
Uh-huh.
If we're going to increase the price of prizes, not the price, but yeah, the cost of prizes this year, then we're going to augment that. If we're not going to increase dues or what have you,
it's coming through raffle.
Take it right out of our fund and set it ahead, right? It
comes out of the raffle. Raffle has covered it.
Yeah. The better the prize.
Covered last year.
The better the prize is, the more tickets you sell.
Made all
so that generally kind of washes out.
All the money
can go last year.
All the money comes from the raffle.
last year, this has been filmed before, and was brought up this past year after the HamFest about the potential of restructuring some of your gate fee to include additional tickets versus a one ticket, where people felt that they had a better interest. Jason had brought that up last year.
Yeah, I mean, it was my deal with the question of lowering. I hate to go backwards, but I'll just do this real quick. It was the idea of lowering the price to $2 and then getting that. But if we're going to keep it at $5, maybe we think people will get a better value if we give them two raffle tickets this year as opposed to one. I was just going to mention that later and not worry about
how
it.
How much is our raffle ticket for you?
It's on an escalated scale.
One raffle ticket is 2, 3 for 5, 7 for 10, 20 for 20.
Okay.
So a $20 a fee.
The concept that Jason had was that whether or not you were charging for a gate fee versus a raffle ticket, it's all based upon the raffle. In the end, it's the same pot of money.
Yeah.
And if people felt like they had a better bang for the buck, they perhaps would have a more enjoyable experience at the HamFest. Where it may cost you a small amount of revenue on the gate fee, but perhaps build it up elsewhere. But anyway, that was a concept that Jason had fielded last year, and I don't know if it had been fully been kind of vetted around the group.
You don't lose anything to give them one more ticket.
Probably not.
No, I don't think we lose anything by just giving them
an hour. If they're gamblers, they're going to. If they've got a 10, they're going to buy.
You're always going to bring
additional tickets with it.
Jim Collum and all these heavy hitters that throw down a couple hundred. They're going
to
come.
Would anybody have a problem with giving away two tickets as opposed to one?
With a $5 interest.
I
don't pay
with $5, but give it two tickets instead of one.
I don't have any qualms with it at all. As a matter of fact, I'll make a motive.
But that's fine. We just took over that. On to food. Anything to report food-wise?
Well, LaRose going in for a knee replacement about the time HamFest is going.
Maybe some more folks to be working on.
So we might need to plan something different then.
Yeah, I'll have to keep checking with her on the knee thing.
Well, a decision like that can be made later.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah.
The building is taken care of. We leased that, wrote the check, signed all the deals, so we got that for the day. VE testing, soon David and his VE folks will take care of that.
Where'd David go?
We lost him.
Then we'll have to come back to it in just a second, because I have a question, just so we have to know.
Jason is going to take care of changing the website.
Yeah, I'll get that changed
for us.
And I'll change it with prizes to be announced as soon as we know what those are.
Can you help get tables again this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can get... How many we had last year? I had 19 from here.
We were short, like 5 or 6.
I know. I've got like 19 tables... here still.
We can worry about that later.
Hooks has got like...
Hooks, we didn't get as many as we thought.
Okay.
Oh, and you were short a couple.
Yeah.
But it worked out. We just had to get a couple tables at the last minute from Carl.
Okay.
But we can plan a little further ahead.
We
can plan ahead this time.
Yeah.
There's David. Hey, David, VE testing at the HamFest, the same thing we did last year?
Yeah.
Two sessions?
Ten and two.
Okay.
Yeah. Prizes is the only thing we got to. And
Well, I actually have something to add to this. Was it 10 and 1?
Was it 10 and 1?
All right.
Okay. It'll stay whatever it was last year. And I think we did that because
yeah.
What time was HamFest over? Three?
Three. 10 and 1 then.
Yeah, I think we made it a little earlier because we didn't want to.
Did that work out okay?
Yeah,
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was better than the 5 o'clock the year before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
was three.
When we auction off the food and stuff at the end of it, let's get somebody that knows how to do auctions and let everybody know, because when that thing, the final drawing is people scatter and we lose our market for selling our stuff.
We'll do that before we raffle off the prizes.
Maybe
while you still have people's attention.
Right.
Maybe that's the way. Or maybe you start doing that around 2 o'clock instead of, you know.
Right.
So just a thought.
Would you want to move your end time up?
If it's at 3 now.
It's 8 a.m. till 3.
I wouldn't want to move it any more than a half hour.
No.
Yeah, I think we need to stay with 3 o'clock. Yeah.
3 o'clock.
I mean, I'm okay with moving
pretty
it.
Much, they were pretty much about 2:30 and 2:45. There wasn't a whole lot of folks.
What time was the drawing?
2:30. Remember you got on to us, right?
I'm not letting us draw early. I mean, do you want to move the draw? I mean, whatever time you have the drawing, it's over.
I would do the drawing at 3 o'clock and just say our HamFest is till 3 o'clock.
People are leaving. They're leaving.
They're not going to leave if there's still a chance to win a big prize.
Well, when was Mina? It was 2, wasn't it?
Yeah, see, they quit at
2. And at 2 o'clock, it was pretty much dry.
Ours at 3 is pretty dead.
Yeah, I mean, 2 o'clock, people, the vendors were already shutting down.
Yeah.
Well, whatever time you put as your close down time, the vendors are going to start breaking down about 45 minutes before that.
Yeah.
It don't matter what time it is. If we said 5 o'clock, they'd be breaking down at 4.
Right. Yeah. When the cash register stops ringing, they're going to start breaking.
Right. Yeah.
Because the cash flow has stopped.
Mm-hmm. So if you try to say, okay, we're gonna end at 2 o'clock because everybody broke down so early and everything, then what that means is that that all your vendors are going to start breaking down at 1 now. Instead of 2.
But if we don't have the people there, what's the use in keeping the doors open?
Well, as long as people keep filling around and spending money, the vendors can still make money.
But these people that drove so far to get here and got up at 5, 4 o'clock in the morning to drive to Dexter County and be here. And
my suggestion would be back it up a half hour.
The drawing?
Both.
Make the drawing at 2 and be done at 2:30?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your drawing's at 2, you're going to be...
Yeah, we never
your deal's gone. But Richard, last first year, I think the other years, he had recommended, his suggestion was 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
By the time his sales, I think, start to taper off.
Yeah, like I said, I think sales are going to start tapering off about 30 minutes
ready to break
before
down.
Time, regardless of what that time
is. Yeah, I'm with you.
What does Mina do?
3 o'clock, I think. Yeah, they do at
3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So what's the consensus?
They have their drawing at 3 o'clock, and it's over at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Since the drawing's over.
Last year we had till 3 o'clock, 8 till 3, and then we had the drawing
about 2 o'clock.
And that's fine. Just stick
with
that.
I'll stay with that. Try to auction our food stuff before the
works for me. Next.
Let's hope we don't have anything to auction also.
Yeah, we're going
we to
keep a better tab
to
on that.
Trim it down to where
any leftover desserts, whatever.
There is one thing that Mr. Teague, our illustrious secretary, our treasurer, and I found out there. They have closed the RV park down out there. The only time they open that up is if they have a committed group come in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, they won't take one or two campers in there anymore. It's shut down until you get a group come in because it wasn't economical for them to keep it on. So, and we'll have to work with them on the early load ins and stuff like that. They'll work with it on the gate.
Oh yeah, we don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock, they're gonna lock it.
Do we have any other options of like hotel discounts and?
Maybe.
That was what we were told by the girl.
That's okay.
The girl.
That's okay.
We got, you know, the vendors from Dallas and Minden, they're going to be spending the night.
On the deal last time, I went out and checked with the hotels to get a special rate for them. It wasn't very much, but, and it's the ones in the, out on the interstate out there that's close to the,
Fair
building, you got Holiday and Hampton Inn and Western and Holiday Inn Express there. It's the ones I checked with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they're okay doing it this year as well?
Sure. I'm sure they will. Well, I'll check with them.
Pretty much all of those hotels will do, they won't be a big discount, but they will offer some discount just to have their name on the flyer.
They have a rate that they do.
It's a standard discount.
Okay.
Generally, it's whatever they're given for like AART or whatever like that.
So let me back up and make sure I got all the right. Basically, it all stays kind of like we had it last year's template.
Are we closing at 2:30 or 3?
At 3.
The hours go from 8 to 3. Yep. The main drawing, the grand prize drawing, is at 2:30.
Same as last year. Nothing changed.
Being testing 10 and 1?
10 and 1.
Okay.
Oh, that's the same.
Okay. Everybody good with that?
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the next agenda item.
You're not quite done with that.
We're going to update that as soon as we get all this information settled.
Give everybody some type of a wall that they can.
I've been instructing all day and
have products on.
I'm enjoying having a little bit of walking room.
we discussed it, but it's going to take money to build something up.
What was the question on
the dividers?
The
curtain dividers.
So the fairgrounds doesn't have anything.
They don't.
No.
So we have
got to rent it.
Or build it ourselves.
Rent it or build it.
It costs money either way you go. It eats into our profit.
I'm just not sure there's a benefit. I don't know.
Well, I think most vendors are wanting something to put their product behind where they don't have to worry about it on the other side. So that may give a lot. That may give may make some vendors happier. That ones that want a wall.
Right.
It may be
if you can just get a printer petition down that middle, I think you'd make a lot of those people that are clamoring for those wall for the outside walls would be okay with being in the center as long as they had a backdrop.
And Hamfest or the Plano's like that. I mean, that Richard took up the whole center aisle all the way down with a black curtain.
Do they not? Have we specifically talked to them about like curtain partition, and they don't have anything?
It gets rented from Stop Again or Dot Again.
Oh, is it? Whenever they have different things in the arena,
all rented. I'll go check on
whoever rents. I mean, whoever's doing the deal rents it. The fairgrounds is not responsible for any of it.
Well, why don't we talk to Dots about what it would cost us to rent it?
Last year they had a quote I don't think it's a whole lot of money.
Yeah, we did get a quote. Charlotte went and did it.
That vendor table.
Skeleton was more expensive than we could afford.
30 feet probably?
Yeah, how many tables we run down through there?
How many tables we run down there?
Let's see here.
Five 8-footers?
It's 5 long. There it is, David. Very last. There you go, right? The sheet right there. On the back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I bet that wouldn't be a whole lot of money just to get, if nothing solid, but just to get a curtain wall.
You're talking about one down the middle of the aisle here.
Yeah, but you might not
one
want
one down the middle of the aisle here.
But you might not want that much.
You may not have to do two, because one side would be your Lee Rodens and
run this one from here to here.
Smaller vendor.
He might not run it up here because he's got that whole U.
Okay.
If this guy has the whole U, and last time we ended up selling this whole U, so you might not have what, I don't know.
That's going to depend on what vendors you have,
well,
too.
What I'll do is just price what they are. Per
and they're
8 foot or 6 foot or 10 foot sections, whatever.
They have sections.
There's another place you might check on rental curtains next door to my shop. There's a specialty place there that specializes in bridal affairs and all kinds of events and stuff. They rent their curtains and stuff, the rest of them. I don't know. I never have priced them, but you might check them and see. It might be cheaper.
Okay. I'll check on that, on the curtains. Anything else on that?
So we can go to the next item here. I done blew my 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, I blew it.
You're behind.
We might catch it on this one, though. This
29.
Everybody got copies, I think, of the bylaws?
Yep.
I didn't
bring mine either. That's okay.
I got copies of the bylaws.
It's okay.
I've looked at it
pretty well. It's mostly ingrained. I've got it pretty good.
We think we're ready to go to the full membership with this. If y'all find any more grammatical or
I assume typing, you fix the typos and
stuff. Fat finger, eras.
Part with
it.
Huh? Okay, my question to you is, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Is there any mention in here about Robert's Rules as requested?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. It was in there before.
Somebody, no, it wasn't in the old one.
Mm-hmm. It was in this, the first draft copy of this.
No, I mean the old bylaws.
Oh, no. It's okay. In that one.
You know what I'm saying?
It's 1.10.1.
10.1, okay, thanks a lot.
Rules contained in Robert's Rules of Order revised shall govern in all cases to which they are acceptable and in which they...
No, which they are applicable.
Yeah,
and which they're not inconsistent with these bylaws.
Right.
You know, just as a reminder, Robert's Rules requires that before moving forward with an agenda item, it does require a vote by the population, by the governing board. You know that, right? Is everybody aware of that? Anybody going to have a problem with that?
Yeah.
You going to have a problem?
Do what, Dan?
Does anybody have a problem with that? I've tried to use that before, and people blew me away. That's why I'm asking.
We don't operate off of an agenda.
We will be operating
off of an agenda. But we don't operate off a specified agenda. And our bylaws don't require us to do that. I'm not playing games. I'm just telling you we don't operate off of an agenda.
I'm telling you we still need to have...
So, we don't have to do that.
Yes, we do.
No, I'm not arguing with Robert's Rules. I think it should be in there.
Okay, well... Why give me
but we don't, have to, we don't have to vote to move from one agenda to the other because we don't operate under an agenda.
Okay.
We're offering an agenda right now.
Oh, it's a proposed agenda. A little different.
Any other things that anybody found in there that they questioned? Or?
Yeah. I'm trying to find it.
What are you looking for, man?
It's in here. Yeah.
What are you looking for? We can probably see where it is.
Is it something about... It's 503C1, but it's not. It's 501C3.
David will fix that.
So, it's in here. I had it.
Yeah, it's obviously
was that in the paragraph in with prohibitions?
I believe so.
What's that? Paragraph in with what?
In with prohibitions. Things that you can't do because it is inconsistent with your mission statement. I don't remember the section.
Well, that's quite a trend.
I remember the topic was prohibitions. Not that that's a paragraph title. It was in reference to things that you can't do as a club, such as political activity and so forth, because it's inconsistent with your IRS mission statement or the requirements for your nonprofit status.
This allows fundraising is on 362.
Okay. Anyway, I'm just trying to think where David saw the reference to the IRS type number.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry.
I left my copy out of it.
Well, I've seen it in there. And
okay, well, we can find it in the picture. That's not a problem.
Now, down at the bottom of page 8, you got it right, 501c3. But in another paragraph.
Find and replace.
Yeah, I've used find and replace.
Find and replace, find that, sir.
And we'll take care of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was in there in two places, David, also.
Yeah. It might be over in the. Articles. It's page 17. Page 17 down there at the bottom, four lines up. Page 17. Four lines up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make it a 5 instead of a 503C.
Hey, it's just a better C, that's all.
Okay, I found it.
There's a certain way you got to do that, too.
Yeah.
And you, I think I've got to even use the. A little C mark. I got to go back and check that. You know, the little to make it the copyright. Yeah. I'm not sure. Make it small enough. Anything else?
I'll proofread it tomorrow again, but it'd be too late then.
And
I've got another one.
Oh, I'm done.
Did you get? I mailed you one.
Yeah, you did, but I didn't print it out.
Well, I know. It's 23 pages. And if you don't have a printer, that'll print it.
I'll tell you the truth. I couldn't print it at the time. I was having problems with my computer, to be honest with you. You still have problems.
Okay. Where are we at now on the agenda?
Budget.
Well, we're still at the bylaws. The action item I'd like to get out of this is, if it's okay with y'all, when do we move this out as a draft copy to the full membership?
More.
The next club meeting.
You don't want to email it out?
How do we want to present it?
Email.
Do we want to make copies, hard copies for everybody, or do we want to
email it to
email
them?
Email it or what?
I would email it electronically. If they wish a hard copy, they could.
By request. Do hard copy by request.
Might do a few hard copies for folks like Cap.
Yeah. I have a suggestion.
But
if we print them, physically hand them, and have them sign that they received it, we would know if that person received a copy of it or not.
And yours is where right now?
Well, that way we couldn't have somebody come up and say, well, I never got a copy of that. Because if you email them, they're not on the email list. Or if it goes to spam or goes to wherever, and they say, I didn't get a copy of it.
And I get a lot bounced back.
Well, the thing is, what we're talking about giving out right now is a draft copy.
And how about the ones that don't have email?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't agree with you on the finished copy so that every club member is. We make sure that every club member actually gets a hard copy once it's all adopted.
Right.
But I think as far as the draft copy for review, I would be okay with doing an email and then
hard copy. All you have to do is say, can you reply back to me that you got this?
Yeah.
Or either
I'm just giving you a heads up.
Or you can even put a report.
You can put a request on your
screen. Here's what can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what can happen. We go to the meeting, and we say that we're going to approve these. You've all already reviewed it. And we have one guy that says, I didn't get it. We can't vote on it.
That's right.
It wasn't presented to every member. And we got to have proof whether they got it or not.
I don't know how much it would cost us over at Office Depot to have them run 46 copies.
Well, I'm not opposed to printing them. I mean, I can get them printed.
Yeah.
That's not a huge problem. I can get them printed. They won't cost us anything. Not a cost issue.
Well, is it in the bylaws that we can't vote?
Currently not, but
everybody
the
has
new ones. I think we do have to. You're right. Right now we wouldn't have to because it's not in the current ones. You're right.
I would think after we announce it on the net and we send an email and we talk about it in the meeting,
yeah,
that if someone didn't get it, they would say, I need a copy of it or something. You know, I think they would speak up.
Anybody that's interested.
Go ahead and email it. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
the deal is that, you know, this draft copy.
We're not caught by those rules.
This draft
yeah.
copy is just
fine
to have an extra set of eyes or a lot of set of eyes look at it and make sure that we're okay with what's in it.
Yeah.
We're not laying down
you're
the
right.
law yet.
No. You're right.
Okay.
Just email it.
So I think, you know, anyone who's interested,
email it.
If they can't get it by email, they can just ask for a hard copy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get it emailed out to them.
I would like to ask a question. This statement has been bothering me from the beginning, and I don't know if y'all are reading it the way that I would like for it to be read. On 352, second line, I'm sorry, first line, the treasurer shall initiate disbursement check to the club operational expense and have the property signed documented. What is that telling you?
Wait a minute.
Where are you?
Where are you? Because ours doesn't read like that.
Page 8. 3.5.2.
Okay,
mm-hmm. All
right,
go ahead.
What version are you reading from?
3.5.2, page 8.
What draft version are you reading from?
120.
Well, why is ours not?
Yeah, ours is not
that.
Like that.
Well, you probably got a different copy.
Well, mine says 120.
What does yours say?
It says 120. It says. Oh, he's second sentence. He's right here, guys.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Now you can start reading.
We're with you. We thought you were starting from the very first of that.
3.5.2.
Okay.
The treasurer shall initiate disbursement checks for the operational expenses, blah, blah, blah. What is that? How are y'all reading that?
I don't read. Oh, there.
The club can write. I mean, the treasurer can write checks for
tire rent,
insurance, tower. P.O. box.
Four states fairgrounds.
Without any special improvements. That's how I take it.
Basically, just like David and I did the other day, we went over and looked.
That would not be allowed. That took a special decision to be made.
Yeah, and that was voted on by...
That was voted on by the club to allow that to happen.
Yeah, oh, that
okay.
was already...
Right.
So according to, is everybody else reading that the same way? Well, what is your minute? The way I state it is not the way you read it. That's not the way I want. That's the way you're seeing it. So everybody reading that way too? Yeah. What I want is that the treasurer must be one of the signers of the check.
Oh, heck no.
It would be the president or the vice president.
Oh, heck no. You're not limited to that, the treasurer would always have to sign a check.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you don't, he's lost control of the funds, which says he's in charge of all funds.
Well, hopefully we have enough. I'm not trying to be rude or anything,
but
I think we have enough.
You've got a rogue treasurer that
yeah.
won't write a check
yeah.
for something that the club votes and says it must be done.
Well, I didn't say that he has the control of the power, but...
There's a passage in there on how to get rid of that treasurer.
Yep. yep.
No, but
in the case that happens.
Exactly.
But if that's your meaning from
you can't ever tell. You might have a rogue treasurer.
I mean, yeah, there's a way to do that.
If any check signers grabs the check and signs the check, then he's lost control of the money that we put him in charge of.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. What he's saying is fiduciary responsibility.
See, if we're going to do that, why have multiple signatures on a check?
Yeah. I'd like to think we have
why record multiple ones? If that, I mean, why require multiple people to sign a check?
I would like to think we have enough credibility as members here to not even question that. I'm sorry. I think it's really rude.
Well,
question.
I agree with Robert.
Technically, that sentence, when you read the back end of it, he's got the credentials and have them properly signed and documented. Now, the properly signatures, he initiates it. He has it properly signed by another signator. And
I don't see where that says that he must sign it.
Well, I think we're beating a dead horse.
Well, let me make a statement, and we'll go
well,
by that.
Well, you can't take this as being you personally.
No.
Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
No.
But don't run
out. I put, as a matter of fact, I did last year put the check out in front of two signators and had them to sign the check. And I didn't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done like that twice.
But you're always knowledgeable what's going on.
I was.
Right?
I had the checkbook, and I had the knowledge that it was being done.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, I wrote out the check and had somebody else to sign it.
I think I'm okay with it being that way. As long as you got two.
I see where this is headed. That's okay. Yeah.
This is headed down the road of personal integrity, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm not really comfortable with that.
Yeah, we covered it in the next sentence. In the absence of the club treasurer, either the club president or vice president may initiate disbursement check and record such action for the treasurer's records.
Yeah.
Right.
Treasurer shall initiate this.
He's still got to have another signature to it. To make it a properly signed check.
Well, I'm looking at the position of the treasurer. The club has elected the treasurer to be.
Yeah, I'm starting to be with you.
To be responsible for the funds.
Right.
But as long as two other people are signing it and not the treasurer, that kind of goes around the.
Well,
the
I'm with you.
The thing
I'm
is,
though.
He is the keeper of the checkbook.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to spend any money, they got to come to him to get the check to begin with. So
not
he does.
Well,
so he does. He does have.
Bank and get a counter check.
He has a certain amount of control
no,
there.
Uh-uh.
No. They can't.
No, you
no,
can't.
Sir.
You can't on a double signature deal.
Okay.
No,
right.
Sir.
You can't use.
I've made sure
it's
of that.
It's got to be.
Sir, David, I made sure of that.
I understand your concerns about the chain of custody, if you will, in terms of
right.
The federal concern. I appreciate. I hear you. But again, I think the way it's written right now is adequate, and I think we should probably
I think
continue the way we have.
You may paint yourself into a corner on something
right,
like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
If we got an event coming up, and David's going to be out of town for the 2 weeks prior to that event, he may need to turn that checkbook over to another officer of the club
right.
to be able to write checks.
No, wait just a minute.
Which is already in there.
Wait
it's already in there. They can do that.
The only person that me or my wife is going, in case I am in the hospital,
right,
is the person that she knows the name of.
Sure.
And he has to present ID to pick up that checkbook.
Correct.
That's
but I'm saying if you've got
wife.
A planned event,
yeah.
If we've got something going on, we know we're going to need some checks.
Yeah.
And you've got a planned event outside of this area that you know you're going to be gone far.
Yeah.
It would allow you, the way it's written,
yeah.
to turn over that
yeah.
checkbook to the president
absolutely.
Or vice president or something like that
absolutely.
And say, it's going to take two people to sign it. Y'all
right.
keep up with your receipts and
yeah.
I'll be back in 2 weeks.
I agree.
Well, she knows.
So I don't have a problem with the way it's written.
Yeah. No,
she
no,
knows to
I
turn
do.
It over to the president if he comes up there and presents an ID.
Yeah,
she knows.
But if you do, but if you say specifically in there that treasurer has got to be one of those signatures,
and it doesn't say that,
then it may make it difficult in some situations to be
yeah.
able to get checks signed.
So they could get run over
it,
an accident.
It doesn't say
if
the treasurer has to sign the check.
Yeah, you know, then they wouldn't be able to sign it at all.
It doesn't say that. It says have them properly signed.
Mm-hmm.
That can be anybody.
So hang around your lawyer friends too damn
much. So am I overthinking this?
I think I'm okay with it the way it's written.
Yeah. I'm thinking if I took the literal thing, though, you're only giving him operational expenses. operational expenses or day-to-day normal expenses.
That's about all we have.
Would yeah. not cover a Hamfest check, would not cover a raffle check, would not cover any type of special circumstance in check.
Well, that's operational. Hamfest is operational.
Well, you could... you could...
Yeah,
you might want to work on that wording, but I don't care what the meaning.
I
understand the meaning, though, now.
Robert's rules.
But it had to get explained to me.
By operational expenses, I take that to mean any expense that has to do with the operation of the club.
Right. Whether
it be regardless of whether it be Hamfest or anything else.
Yeah. That's what I mean, that's all we have is operational expense.
Well, then that's fine. If enough people.
I mean, we don't have no salaries. We don't have no salaries.
Yeah, and we can't have salaries, so that's okay.
Yeah.
0.00.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Go with it.
About all this bylaws anyway. Go with it. It's not a $1 billion corporation, you know.
That's true.
I've never seen a small club this small, have so many rules and bylaws. In my whole life.
Because the world's gotten to the point now, God, I'm not kidding you. It's gotten to the point you can't trust anybody over anything.
Yeah, okay.
It's because we are an incorporated entity and because we're claiming a 501c3 exemption.
Yeah.
Right. That's the main reason why we have to have all the rules.
I'll make the grammatical and typographical error changes and get it emailed out, hopefully before the next club meeting.
What are you actually looking for in terms of trying to get this ratified? What's your team?
I'll let Arthur speak to it after I did. I'd say we give them a couple of months to look.
A couple of months?
But I'm not sure we have to have that long.
I don't think so.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
a couple of months.
I don't think there's anything there that somebody can't sit down and read in an afternoon.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Thank you. We have two.
I understand that.
2 weeks?
Is that 1 week?
No, one coming weekend.
I think we'd get an email
out pretty much now.
At our February meeting, we could have hard copies available for people who did not
do
the email deal. Mm. And then the very next meeting, it could be, it's still going to end up taking 2 months, but
the next
meeting, it could be
ratified.
Put on the agenda for definite vote in the March meeting.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be voted on twice?
No.
No, just once.
It has to be placed on the agenda in one meeting and then voted on the next.
Okay. February the 7th would be our meeting. So that would be, where are we at now? January 26th.
We can't just send out an email draft and then turn around and vote on it.
No, I agree with that.
We've got to give everybody a heads up that it's going that there is going to be a vote.
That's right.
How many more changes are to this? I mean,
we really honestly don't anticipate a whole lot of changes. We think we pretty well ironed it all out anyway.
Yeah, and we kind of beat it up again tonight.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
what's wrong?
I'm not trying to put things here. But
it's got to be...
Everybody has to have an opportunity.
Because it is a draft,
right?
It now has to be presented to the membership
as a draft, so that
every member has the same right to look it over and make any suggestions that they want, and then you can vote it into.
So how long between tonight is what I'm getting at, and the time that we can send it out to the general membership? What are we looking at time-wise for that? That's what I'm asking.
Just to send it out to general membership, if we do it by email, we can have it out tomorrow.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
maybe the next
exactly.
Day.
Okay, so if that meet with that in mind, then you would have the you can't vote on it this coming meeting because
right.
That's way too short a notice.
What you would do is take a motion this meeting,
right,
to vote on it in March.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And so the March meeting is when it would actually be in effect.
I mean, these guys done a lot of work.
Provided
on
that
he congratulated too, by the way, Mike.
Yeah.
Good
job. I mean, there has been lots of hours put in on.
Oh yeah.
Our committee is
Okay,
so I just came in on the tail end of it. They put in some time on that. Yeah,
thanks, man.
So if we email this out, then discuss it in February, and make any changes that they
that they seem necessary, deemed necessary, and or is that enough time to discuss it?
And then I was with a urgent notice on it and tell them, look, we're going to be discussing this at the meeting for the last time, something like that.
You may have to play it by ear.
Yeah.
If there's too much discussion about it,
yeah,
it's going to get prolonged.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I mean, that's
the deal. Discussion
really. Whenever we get to that meeting, that February meeting,
mm-hmm.
the majority of the membership may be perfectly fine with taking the draft just as it's written, and yeah, that's fine.
Did you get
let's
one,
adopt
Josh?
It. In which case, it's an easy motion.
You email me one. I don't have one right now, but that's okay.
I've got one.
If everybody gets to discussing it and it starts to get muddy, we can always table the decision.
Yeah.
Right.
And set it back one more month.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item on the agenda. Budgets.
Looks great.
That's what I said, Jason. I've gone over this thing now with a fine-tooth comb, and I thought everybody would like to see our actuals for 2013 and 2014 and what we have spent to date and collected to date, and then what I've estimated for the 2015 budget and the 2016 budget. And if you see, in 2015, we did not do a year-end raffle because I think it was the board meeting before last time, maybe. I can't remember when it was. We said on the raffle, we did one this year, it put us in good standing with our money, that we maybe need to skip a year, and then if we want to do a year-end raffle the next year, because if we say we're hitting up our friends every year. And
you're attacking all the same people every time.
Yeah.
Well, has anybody ever thought about setting up in front of one of these stores and selling raffle tickets like Albertsons or like all the rest, Walmart or whatever, instead of going to your friends? I mean, like you said, it's going to get tiring for all your friends.
Yeah.
And if you win, they say, hey, that was rigged. That's what all my friends and 10 folks been telling me.
I still say it was rigged.
I was there and I think it was rigged.
Oh, Lordy.
Sounded good.
Yeah. Oh, but we've already almost 35% of our budgeted expense for the year. And we hadn't even turned to the second month.
We didn't get good started yet.
But in all fairness, that is
covering most of the expenses for the year too.
For the year, so because
we're paying the entire amount for the
the tower rental and all that kind of thing up front.
It at the end of 2015, if we do as good on our raffle as we did last year,
I'm projecting that we're going to end up with a balance of about almost $11,000. But we've also got these contingencies expenses down here that we could get hit with at any time. As you see back over in 2013, we did have one of those expenses. And we got lucky then.
Well, that's actually not a true amount of money either.
I know, but that's what the books show.
Yeah, the actual was more than that.
I know.
As a suggestion for small clubs, small financials, but it would be, I would prefer to see the operating expenses and operating income segregated versus special events with a ham fest or raffle, and just to show that where those funds are generated and the net.
Say it again. I don't think I followed what you said.
We've got our income. We've got the ham fest income in with dues, and our dues basically cover our fixed operating expenses such as rent and insurance. Whereas on expenses, we've got lumped from our ham fest expenses in with those fixed costs such as tower rent and insurance.
But they're broken out individually here.
I understand that.
You can see them.
I see those. I see all those you just mentioned. It's the same operating cost.
You don't segregate those differently. Like I said, small quotes, small financials is probably not a big deal. But
David, when would those be standard operating?
Sir?
Money. Why wouldn't those be standard operating?
When was this as of?
Well,
I mean, are we going to quit having Hamfest sometime?
No, no.
It's been a while ago, hasn't it?
It was a slightly different category than
which
the income.
You know where I'm going for right.
This.
What our dues are.
You know where I'm coming from.
Last week.
You know, I still haven't replaced at the bottom.
46 members should generate over $1,000.
Well.
There's only 273 listed.
It generated it in 2014.
Oh, you're a ton of it there. Oh, crap. That sucks.
You're messing with the books again, are you?
No.
Should have set on that and not deposited it to 2015 so we can see what the actual 2015 receipts were.
We can break it out.
But it's okay.
I can break it out.
It'll do the same thing next year. You'll pay in December and it'll show up there.
I'd sure like to know what actual 2015 member dues receipts were, though. Not right now, David.
Yeah.
Just...
What?
I didn't want you to look.
Yeah. I got it right here.
How many members do we have right now?
46.
46 times 30. There you go.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. Because you got a lot of dollar members.
Yeah, a lot of dollar.
I think total last year we only had 10. So, I mean, it's not going to make us...
What's the letter of 40 times 30?
That 10 makes a $300 swing.
Right, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Do what?
Makes $300.
That 10 people makes a $300 swing.
Because you're collecting a dollar instead of 30 for those 10 people.
Well,
sure. It makes a $290 swing in
the
numbers. So it becomes real important.
Okay.
Now, I did the quick math. It's $1,300.
Well, you only got about 10 people that affects on worst case, so... You got 40 times 30 is 1,200 plus $10 for the wife.
Yeah.
Well, if we go to $10, we're not doing
no, it's 10
money
people.
That yet, right?
You just count them at $30.
Okay. 10 members. And a dollar a piece is $10.
So it's minus
300.
I'm talking about increasing.
I like my way better.
I understand.
I like your math better.
Nobody
has a problem with this thing.
No.
It didn't go.
Okay, it's
flat.
Well, we're talking budget now, right?
We could use governmental accounting.
Okay, I want to ask a question that I've asked the group before. We find ourselves from time to time asking ourselves, where are we going to get this, where are we going to get that, to perform this function, perform that function. I'll keep it brief as I can, because I see some teared eyes. But at any rate, things like you wanted to get curtains instead of renting them, why don't we go buy them and put them over in David's office and have them for the future, okay? Instead of having to rent tables, well, we do pretty good not renting them. I have to go with that, you know. But I'm saying the club itself should have some degree of properties that it owns for events, for the bike ride, for the run, to buy shirts maybe for something. I don't know. But at any rate, I'm asking everybody to think that through.
I think I'd like to see
a segment of the budget.
Yeah.
From that.
In the case of like the curtains and everything, if we go and we find out that we can purchase the curtains and stuff outright for basically, you know, not too many more dollars than renting them twice.
There you go.
Then it would make sense to do that. But if it turns out that the rental
is cheaper.
Is not so much,
right?
And that it saves us significant dollars just to rent them and not have to store them for an entire year in between events. We may be better off just renting.
Due diligence does apply.
It may just be something we need to look at and see, you know, kind of where we are on it. You know,
is anybody else share my concern or not? Does anybody care about what the club?
Well, I think that the club
property wise,
the club needs to have certain properties for things that we do all the time.
You don't care?
I care what the club has.
What do you want?
But
hang on.
When I look at this, and all the stuff you just mentioned, I'm not picking on what you just mentioned,
but you're going to
the
anyway.
Stuff you just mentioned.
Yes.
The stuff down here at the bottom of this for the emergency expenses, I place every one of those above what you mentioned. So until I have $7,300,
I place all those below.
I
place all those below. because you're planning for something that may not or may not.
That's right.
And to put apart a portion of our budget, operating expense budget.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm telling you what
is,
I think.
I think it's foolish. I'm sorry.
But I'm not telling you, I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you what I think.
What do you want
about?
You want
about?
Well, I'm not trying to upset the apple cart here, David, okay? I'm saying these right here that is somewhat set aside, which is $7,300, which is not cheap. Total contingency expenses. That's an awful lot of money to be set aside.
Do you know
okay?
how much?
We have
I'm not
going to
go there. I'm not
going to
discuss that. I'm sorry. I know it costs money to put a cable. I know it costs money for this, that, and the other. I understand that.
Okay.
I'm not arguing that.
Okay. I've got a price from to just to climb the towers, $3,200.
I'm not arguing it, David.
Yeah.
That's what you're missing.
I'm not
arguing it. Do we need to have somebody call climbing towers tomorrow?
It could possibly.
But it could also, an earthquake could take the tower down, too. Okay? I mean, I think you're putting away way too much money in a contingency.
I think one of the biggest assets that this club has got is a 6.2 repeater.
Exactly.
That's correct.
It's used on a daily basis, and it's important to all of us.
Exactly.
Agreed.
And so I think that it should be a priority to maintain it in a good operating order. If something were to happen to that repeater was $2,000 short on making a repair to it, and all we had to show for ourselves is a bunch of curtains, there'd be a lot of people upset.
Okay. Let's go with that. Let's go with that.
We should run ourselves short purchasing other items that are going to be used once a year whenever they could be rented, and we can't just rent.
Well, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking for anything.
We need to make sure that we are
prepared. If it's cheaper to rent, then we rent. I understand.
Hang on just for a second, for guys.
Go ahead.
This is not set in stone.
I know. That's what I'm.
This is nothing we've ever voted on.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is a suggestion by the person that made this out. Okay, so don't take it as this is what's set in stone.
I thought you guys got behind the green door or something there.
No, this has not been voted on. It's not decided.
This is what we would hope to be able to have if everything works out right.
It is a suggestion.
We haven't got it right now.
But where the club spends money is up to the club.
Yeah.
This is just a suggestion.
The only reason I put that in there
is because
if something catastrophically happened on Summer Hill Road.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is what it's going to. Well, it's probably going to cost more than this.
It's good to have a view of it. I'm not arguing that.
My suggestion is we go back and we take, and the way a lot of companies operate is they do the same thing. What is the contingency as I lose this?
Yeah.
Then we take half of whatever it's going to cost us and put it back and say, okay, that's the contingency fund for that.
Okay.
Now, if it happens and I need more, then I've got to go find it in my budget somewhere.
You can also look at this from a perspective of what you do with property management. Let's say, for example, you know you've got a new heat and air system.
Yeah.
You know what's going to last. Only going to last you 10. Mm-hmm. Let's say it could last 15 years.
Okay.
That's probably not realistic with new equipment. But let's say it did. Well, you would want to have a replacement reserve. You'd want to put in every year 1/15 of that. So the same issue is you have with HELIAX antennas, repeaters. They only have a certain degree of service life, either due to deterioration or due to mechanical failure, due to damage by other means. And so I think the point was that this is a replacement reserve that would be needed to be built up, but you have a certain feed rate that you need to
put back in
to put in.
Spectrum analyzer. I want to buy a spectrum analyzer for the club.
Then bring that up.
I want to buy an oscilloscope for the club.
Then bring that
up. These
are
the kinds of things, and so people who are in the club will have usage of it with training, of course.
Then bring that up to the board. Hang on. Bring that up to the board. Let the board make a decision on it. If everybody at this board decides not to, you can then bring it before the whole club and see if that's something that everybody is interested in. Each individual person has got to make their own decision about that.
350 feet of coax, cable. You got the idea, anyway.
No,
that's
This is not voted on.
Okay, no. It's not set in stone. If there's some place you want to spend money, bring it up.
Well, I mean, if you look at this, and you were, if you did vote on it, and it was accepted, that means this figure here now goes down to what? $3,000. That's ridiculous.
Right. No, we still have balance forward of $10,000. We still have that much money.
Even if we took out $7,300?
We're not going to take it out. It's still a balance forward.
Okay.
It's not available to be spent, though. But we haven't decided that.
Yeah. Now, apparently I'm the only one who thinks the club needs...
A spectrum.
I'm not saying this sarcastically, but it appears, though, I'm the only one that thinks the club really needs the opportunity to advance our skills in our hobby.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have anything, to my knowledge anyway, except our code classes like what's going on right now. That advances a hobby, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for that. But at any rate, what do we have that's really advancing or challenging our membership to learn more? I know you've all told me before they don't want challenge, but I don't think that's really true.
If you want to buy something, bring it up. Make a motion to buy something. I mean, that's how it's done. Get the discussion on the agenda and talk about it.
I'm not going to argue. It's not worth arguing.
20 years ago, a spectrum analyzer, I had one right out there at the mobile shop.
Mm-hmm.
$20,000.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Well, I think he's talking about an antenna analyzer. I don't think he's talking about an actual spectrum analyzer.
I said spectrum analyzer, but you can buy spectrum analyzers a whole lot cheaper than that. Yeah. They're not the new flashy ones, granted, but you can buy them, you know, aftermarket.
By the other man's problem.
Maybe so. You got to be,
let's go.
Yeah. And there's been a time here.
Yeah.
Everybody's okay with this and okay with presenting it to the full membership.
I'll go along with it.
All right.
Sure.
That was my action item for that one.
Sorry.
All right. Run the line. We got enough folks, Clarence?
We can stand two more.
Oh, that's good.
You got my email, didn't you?
Yeah.
That I would. Okay. I was just making sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got you down. Okay. David Glenn's down.
All right.
David Teague's down. Let's see, Arthur's down.
We'll hit them up at the membership.
Let's see, Monroe and Ann, I don't have y'all down for anything.
You're supposed to have me down on that.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to have me down too.
Yeah, so you're down.
We'll hit it up at the February meeting and see if we can't drum up a few more.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to have more than that.
Yeah, I'd always take more. More is better.
Okay. Are we still meeting before the race to get breakfast there?
Well, would y'all like to? Do you want to?
I want to eat.
I think Grandy's would be a nice, cheap place, and we could get in and out quick. And
I did put Dutch down there.
Well, I thought you were paying.
Okay, David, I'd like to say one thing. Since we're on the event stuff, this bike race that's coming up, and I know it's not on the agenda, but just the information thing, this bike race that's coming up, we're going to need, I see tons of people with that, a lot more than what?
14 is what I said.
Well, I mean, we got 70 miles to cover here.
Yeah, 70 miles.
Well, I didn't hear y'all say something on the radio because there's a lot of space between the checkpoints.
Yeah.
Well, there's an advantage and disadvantage of that at the same moment.
All day deal.
If somebody was to fall between one of the checkpoints, you're going to have riders that will continue on to pass that information along.
Yeah.
So not having somebody every few miles is actually fine because you've got riders that are constantly going back and forth. Keep in mind that there's a follow car that follows the very end of the race.
There was last year. I had problems with that last year.
I've only worked the first year, so I can only speak to what happened the first year.
I had some problems with this.
Yeah.
This coordinator
it did
last
not
year.
Work out.
It did not work out.
Oh, really?
No, it did not. And what scared me is I listened to Tall Peak Saturday morning, and they already lost a rider. 2.5 hours they spent trying to find him.
Right. And we lost him the first year. He got in the car.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems with him is I only knew of one SAG, and it turned out to be the coordinator's husband. I didn't know that. But when we had a rider down, go down at Three Points and needed someone there, their people already left. They didn't care. He spent minutes up there drinking coffee and chit-chatting with all the people before he had finally even left.
Well, that would be the one suggestion I'd make, is that there was an amateur radio person with that assigned to that guy. Which, whether they would do that or not, that's a whole different discussion.
Well, to me, the Sackfield should be sitting at Liberty Isle High School.
That's not for our
decision.
I understand
that.
I mean,
but they need to be out of course.
I agree with that.
They don't need to be sitting at Liberty Isle High School.
But I definitely wouldn't be for somebody riding around. That'd be awful. That road's already bad enough. You sure don't need to add traffic to it.
Well, as long as you have good radio communication.
Yeah.
Your event coordinator can actually be anywhere he wants to, as long as he's in contact with everybody else.
Well, she was. I was in contact with her.
Yeah.
But it didn't go very far, very fast.
It just wasn't utilized correctly.
We'll
hit the biggest problem.
We'll hit everybody
else. I mean, in the emergency services world, if you have a large situation like that, and you have what they call a unified command, which puts a liaison for each agency all in the same command post, that command post can be anywhere as long as they're in contact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next item is, of course, the February 7th club meeting. We've got one item that we have to cover at that meeting, and that is we have to change our existing bylaws, and we already have a motion on the floor, and it's due for a vote next time to change the bylaws to 20% of a club for our quorum. And I've already written up the new insert for the old bylaws. When I say old bylaws, I don't want to confuse anybody. That's the IRS bylaws.
IRS bylaws.
Okay.
The active bylaws.
Yes. So we get
the Reader's Digest version.
Condensed. We get that done, then we're in good shape for this next bylaw session. And then I put on there possible authorize the purchase of Ham Fest prizes and any additional expenditures that we might need for the Ham Fest, just to get them authorized, and then form the Ham Fest committee and start discussing that and any other possible club business. I don't, Steve, it might come up.
What are we going to?
Or it might come up from the floor. Any problem? Anybody got anything that they might? We need to add to that.
Well, I sure hope we upgrade our prizes, because I've caught several out of town people discussing, you know, when are y'all gonna get some decent prizes?
They didn't like our prizes last year.
What would they consider decent prizes?
No kidding, because two of them last year were great.
ICOM 718 is not one of their desired radios, nor is one of the Chinese Watson.
Well, we didn't have an ICOM. Well, we had a Kenwood.
We did upgrade.
They'd rather have a Kenwood 590 or a Yaesu 1200 or a ICOM 7410.
What kind of price? Give me a hey, Clarence.
There goes that $7,300.
Clarence, give me a
report.
Give me a number. Give me a number on any one of those. Give me a number.
The deal is, when are y'all going to have some decent prizes?
Do me a favor, run those model numbers again, somebody.
Me and Dave have a 7410.
7410. Well, I got a 7410.
David's got one of the 7410s.
Wow.
But they got a big, bigger.
Yeah.
FT-1200 is...
But you're talking about doubling your prize mix, the cost in your prize mix.
What else do you have, Mike?
I'm all in favor of increasing.
I am too.
But I don't know if we can do it that fast.
I don't know if you jump that far.
Well, I mean, they definitely can't make fun of what we had last year. I mean, I could for third place, because it was a Wuxon.
Yeah.
Crap. Place one and two were pretty nice.
Yeah, the 71A last year, that's a nice prize.
Well,
The Kenwood,
was it a 460 or whatever that is?
That's all.
That's nice. What was last year, David? You're holding the sheet up there somewhere.
What was our most expensive? I wasn't there last year, so what was the most expensive item you all gave away?
Hang on, David will tell you.
David can tell you.
An Icon SIM 18 100 watt HF transceiver and a Kenwood TMV71A.
Yeah.
2 meter 440 mobile and a Waxon 5D. 2 meter 440.
First two prizes weren't anything to laugh at.
Okay, so 718, what did we pay for that, you know?
About 700 bucks.
620. About 700?
Yeah. He's closer to right. About 620, right? 620. Six something, best I can go with.
Yeah, you might get bumped up a notch to the next model.
Jason, didn't you say something about $1,500 at one point?
That's what we talked about earlier in tonight.
What the total was $1,500
last year?
No, last year we did it for just over
1118
last year.
I think
okay.
We could easily stretch to 15.
Yeah, that's
we. Yeah, you could.
Well,
I'm not sure I'd go a whole lot farther.
That's what I've got in the budget.
We need to grow a little at a time.
Right. The first year was supposed to be a limit of 1,000. And they spent just over 1,000. I don't remember how much. And they got, in my opinion, crappy radios.
The first year was
$919.
$919. It was crappy radios. Well, we spent $200 more and got nice stuff.
Nicer radios. Well,
I mean, the Luxon's still a crappy radio. Kind of right. That's been the goal. Is every year let's try to do something a little nicer.
Bit nicer.
Yeah. We try. So I mean, heck, we're increasing the budget almost $400. So
I don't mind having a old Luxon for a fourth prize or a, I'll be the first prize, but I'm
right.
Yeah.
No, I'd love to have three nice
the
prizes.
Is,
I don't know if we can get there, but
we're sandwiched in between Shreveport and Rich Mountain, and you know what kind of prizes they're giving.
Yeah,
and they come and say. Hey, Texture Cow's a pretty good size.
We're trying.
Assist, you know,
we're trying. We're getting there.
Giving for prizes.
Yeah. But we've also got 2,000 people at Hamcom, and
yeah, I don't think we can compete with the gate. 300 here. We can't compete with the gate that they got at the
Shreveport.
We'll do better than we did.
They turn a lot more people through.
We get there.
Ramp it up a little bit.
We're going to do some research on the prices.
Yeah. I can see $1,500 the third go around.
I can. We don't want this rumor that Texarkana is pretty nice, but they don't have any prizes worth a flip. Yeah.
We've been fixing that every year.
The first year it was $919.
Well, somebody made the remark. They'll see what they can pick up at a bargain somewhere. I'll close that.
They must not have looked at what we gave away last year.
Well,
$15,000
it wasn't all that great, but we thought it was good.
I'd have liked to have any of the three prizes.
Yeah.
I'd have taken any one of the three.
I bought $200.
It didn't win a thing.
It didn't win nothing. Of course, the guy that won the grand prize bought $400.
Exactly.
That's true. If we are HF,
what'd you say?
I said, they think that 671 is a bad radio.
71A, 2 meter 440.
Them guys must be them $7,000 or $8,000 radios.
They must be.
$10,000 radios. I guess they think anything under $5,000 is cheap.
Exactly.
Well, they're going to have to think again because we don't have that.
I don't know what an $8,000 radio would do over this $600 or $700 radio. I mean,
it's got some ESP filtering, but
it's still
got
to have somebody to.
It's hard to buy on the other end of that radio.
Hey,
that's
right,
when
the tables go up to $15 an entry $10.
We'll do some research on the prizes. We've got it in the budget for $1,500 for all three of them. And who knows, if we get a good radio, the top prize, we might just drop back to two rather than three.
Okay, in terms of prizes, I wasn't there last year. I apologize. Did you guys give away any small stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Every 15
minutes.
Yeah.
A lot of that is all donated, though. We're
yeah.
not
yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. It's all donated.
Okay.
That's the Harbor Freight provides.
That's our shopping place, buddy.
There's no expense on free coupons.
No, I bet they didn't. Less or lesser to get that. That was even very good.
I'm going. The technician class.
Clarence, have we got all the instructors we need, or do we need more, or do we need to hit them?
Well, we've got B and B, and I guess we...
I'd like to be working...
I'd like to tap on to Jason and give him...
David.
David?
I'd like you to work me in some way.
Well, let's see.
I can for sure teach what I taught last year. I can handle that half hour.
That's pretty good. What do you teach?
Well,
in your calendar, I don't know what is a typo or what you meant to go 6 weeks in a test session. Did you mean to do that? Because in the calendar, you've got six
and
classroom
then seven.
Sessions.
Yeah, in the past, we've only done five instructional nights and then one test session.
Okay.
That makes for a 6 week total that you're...
Mm-hmm.
Tying up somebody, you know.
Five classes and one test. So right.
Six
consecutive weeks. Do the instructors need to get together? Do we need to come up with some kind of syllabus?
Mm-hmm.
Or
you probably didn't have a meeting. You probably need to make sure you decide on what you're going
to
teach.
Well, everybody that wants to teach will contact me and on the email or something.
Okay.
And we'll get together.
All right.
But it's sure nice to have five or six teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if somebody's out,
right.
Somebody can fill in.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. I do a little planning if I teach.
I try to do a little planning. Yeah.
Okay.
It's sure a lot better.
All
right. David?
Yes.
I believe there was some suggestion brought up that the VEs, needs to meet.
Yeah, we'll.
The day or the evening before, where we can all be on the same page.
Right.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Didn't we elect Jason to teach that class?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Next item.
That's a long time away.
This is Clarence's. The code class is wrapping up. I think y'all got one more tomorrow.
Yep. Right.
Is everything going pretty good? How many did you have this time?
12.
12 people?
Wow.
That is a lot of dis and dots out there. You're
doing good. Well, it sure helped my code speed. I don't know about the rest of the bunch.
12 people? And they all go pass?
Well, there's no test.
Yeah, so everybody will pass.
What you do on your own, whether you can get on there and turn your radio on and tune across there and find you somebody sending code that you can, that's your speed, you know, and copy it. Sit down there to the point where you can send a answer to the CQ and get on there and converse with them.
I like the way Arthur does it, though. Get the key on.
Wait a minute. It's not cheating if it's available.
I'm a computer guy. Utilize the available technology.
Where are we at? Before that.
We were on the code class.
Yeah, well, that's
you got to
only one more.
So
I know it, but I just heard one of them things.
Good deal on the code class then. And what we probably ought to do, this is kind of getting off the agenda, and it goes back kind of what Robert said. What we probably ought to do is we'll get old Arthur to teach us how to do, we'll set it up, it won't have to be 5 nights, but probably a couple of nights, how to do the... the automatic stuff, the packet reads and all that mess.
BSK?
Yeah.
BSK.
For anybody that will have a class especially for that. And then maybe if somebody can operate one of those frequency or antenna analyzers and has got one, that we might have a night or two class on that for somebody, you know, special. And we need to work on that. We really do need to do some internal instructions for our own members.
Thank you.
It's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad idea.
If they got the equipment that they can ship. Okay.
David, I caught up with myself.
Okay.
This contact people, I mean, contact telephone numbers that need that for the people that's going to take the class. Do we just want to leave it up to Clarence's contact number? To the ones that wants to take the class,
that's what I've got on the brochure that's out on the Facebook page. I didn't know any other number, and Clarence was our instructional guru, and that's why I put his number on.
Well, that's the reason I was saying, you know, you could put my number on there also, because I'm gonna funnel all of my calls right back into Clarence.
Well, what's the use in calling you then?
If we just got past the block,
well, I just
funneled it on into him. That middleman out.
It's already been pre-funneled.
That's good.
Of course, we need to tell him at the February meeting. That'll be an item for the agenda, Steve, to start talking it up with their folks. I've talked it up with a couple of our folks. Hopefully, I'm going to get a couple of them into it.
Well, we had three class members already.
Okay. I think I've maybe two more. I'm pretty sure.
I think I've got.
I'm building my row right now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at three myself.
We may have the same three.
No. Yours is on the Arkansas side, mine's on Texas.
No, mine are on the Texas side. Yeah, you got Arkansas.
Yeah, maybe sharing the same list.
Yes.
This may not be the right time. If it's not, let me know. I'll just forget it. He's giving code classes, and you know, people are doing things for the veteran of the club. Would it be? I'd like to see. I'm just suggesting. I want to see what you guys think about taking the names of all the people who present who went to your class, okay, who completed your class, and give them a certificate of achievement. That's all it's got to say, certificate of achievement. In Morse code 101, or whatever you guys want to come up with, I don't care. But I bought the certificates at Walmart. They just need filled in and names and things like that. And the feeling behind that is these people who attended that, it kind of helps them build up their ego.
I got a problem.
And I think it should be done in probably a lot of other areas of
that's
the club.
That's pretty
well.
Easy to do.
That's pretty easy to do. You give me your list of who took it. Yeah. I can make
knock
it
out
of paper and I can knock it out. Mm-hmm. Put it in a good plastic envelope with a little wind in it.
And don't forget the teachers, too.
Yeah,
they gave their time.
I don't qualify for that.
Make
that
a nice bunch
of I'm just going to pass that along. But
do one.
If you took the class,
well,
he has no more.
He's saying he attended, but that's as far as it went.
But I would like to mention that we've got some hands in the class, like Herbert, and we've got some new members in there. One of them hadn't got even taken his license test yet. That are doing very good in the class.
And he's a member.
So,
yeah.
Just want to mention that.
Well, what we need is, what are some of the skill sets of some of the folks in there? You know, if we've got one of the old Elmer hams that's real good at something, you know, maybe could teach a class in something, you know, an antenna class or something, you know.
Certificates, once again, you know what I'm saying? Just show our appreciation, give them an opportunity to show, okay?
Okay. The repeater, Clarence, health and status and operation.
Let me interject. Has anybody thought any more about the postcard going out
Yeah, that was going to be the thing I was going to ask about.
Yeah. Yes, I definitely want to do the direct mail piece. Irregardless of whether you do it direct off of the SEC database or if you get it washed from the Adon Royal or whoever, I'd definitely do that direct
mail. We need to do that before the Hempfest comes
out. Yeah, that needs to be mailed out.
March.
At least a couple of weeks ahead of the
Hempfest. Tech clients.
Okay. Yeah.
Because some of those people might want to take the tech clients to get back into the swing of things.
Mm-hmm. I can bring a sponge and get after it.
Boy,
well, if we had emails or phone numbers on the people, a personalized contact means a lot rather than just getting a postcard on a mass mailing.
Well, the ARL database or that other database, well, they're the same database, really. It doesn't give you an email address. It gives you a street address, at least. Well, I assume that's a street address.
But it's supposed to be the correct one because it's what they got
listed
with SEC.
Because they're illegal if it ain't.
Right. Right.
Right.
Well, a lot of them, it's not right.
We've looked about the QRZ, and sometimes, even if they're inactive, their email will show up on QRZ.
It will?
Yep.
Okay. The only problem with that, I sent emails out when I was volunteering. Probably someone who sent you 60% of the emails, addresses were incorrect.
Yeah. People change email addresses quite
right,
often.
Yes, yeah.
I'm all for the mail out, though. Physical mail, U.S.
Yeah.
mail.
And, you know, like I said before, that's not going to cost you less than $100
to
mail out.
I really see that card mail out as doing us more good for our Hempfest than anything else. I'd really like to see that mailed out just a couple of weeks ahead of the Hempfest, rather than sending it out before the tech class or something. I'm afraid people are going to have too long a period there to forget about it before the Hempfest.
How did you guys get the name list when Robert had that done? How did you get the names? You went on the QRZ on the database and looked them up?
I think he pulled it from the SEC database. Do what? I thought
he got it from the
FCC.
From the FCC.
I think it's a little easier to get from the FCC.
I pulled it off the FCC.
Yeah.
You can just go online, he'll email you a link, and then you can download the CBS file.
Yeah.
What I did is I went out and I pulled it up by the zip codes.
How many
total
were there?
I saw what you did there. It's
you'll good. Do just a blanket for 755. It'll pull your region and do the same thing for 755.
Oh, yeah, you can do it with all your zip codes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Individually, and it'll line them all up for you.
Yeah. And you'll crank up quite a few. Yeah.
I cleaned the list up. I think there's like 384 names on it when you just take the actives.
Yeah. I think if we do that card and just make it basically an invitation to our Hempfest. With all the Hempfest information on it, send it out and just remind everybody that we're having a Hempfest.
Yeah.
You'll get a whole lot more people through the gate on your Hempfest, and you'll remind all the local hams that there is an active club going on around.
That's
here.
Right. That's very good. Good idea.
Well, are you trying to get people to go to the Hempfest, or are you trying to get new members?
Both.
Hopefully,
I'd get them out to the Hempfest and then introduce them to the club.
Exactly. Try to get them to the Hempfest first.
Well, if you can get them to the
strong arm,
take part and be members of the club, they'll go to the Hempfest.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but there's a lot of people that might come to the Hempfest that would not necessarily.
I'll start working on some wording for the card.
All right.
Okay. Good. That took one care of that other business there. And I think we got some folks that's working on the communication for the big race. We've already discussed that. Texas Aries, is that?
No, you're mistaken. That it's two race. One's a bicycle race, one's a foot race.
Yeah. Grass scooters up on the net, too.
Well, the foot race I covered earlier, I think, the run the line.
Right.
You did,
And we're going to hit them all, the membership up again to get a few more folks in that.
The run the line is not going to take near the kind of manpower or logistics that the other one will.
Yeah, the bike price.
It's not as long either, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours at the most.
2 hours and
right.
Right.
I mean,
they're 3 weeks.
Most folks
run a marathon, and if we don't get 3 hours, and this is just a half marathon, so.
And if we don't get enough folks, we can always leapfrog it. Like,
yeah, we can leapfrog it.
Correct.
That's a little harder to do with that bike race.
Okay, the last item.
I do have an item that probably needs a direct to Mr. Hopkins.
You want
to? But one thing we need to do this year is to it's a donation letter.
Okay.
It's for our some of the donators that fall in the category of the 501c. Two that come to mind. One is the owner of the building that we have a storage room in. And the second is Doug Ramsey that donated a rifle this past year. And so both of those, the letter is, there is a slight, little bit of required language in it that you identify your tax ID number, that's your 501c organization. There is some standard language that's on the IRS website, but other than that, you or everything else is free form that I understand. You can express your appreciation how you feel necessary, and but the standard language, the required language in the letter, is only constitutes about a sentence. But if we had a letter of that type, then all the board members, if they were present, could sign that at the next meeting. We could get that thing out. The next business meeting.
Right.
So it's some of a time of the essence type of deal that we neglected.
Yeah.
Secondly, should for any reason that some of our senior leadership may be indisposed during the net this week, Thursday, are there any pertinent announcements on net control? Are there any pertinent announcements that need to be made?
Not that I know of. Other than the events we already have and reminding everybody to check their email for those bylaws.
I always mention ask if they are not getting. I'm not aware of anyone that's not getting Clarence's e-letter. But if they aren't receiving it, I ask them to please let us know. And I never have any fakers on that. So if they are, they've missed the opportunity.
The Red Cross, Clarence, I'll start off and you can catch anything I miss it for assistance. They're going to do a smoke alarm giveaway.
Canvassing event is what they titled it.
Yeah, canvas event.
Mm-hmm.
Giveaway to some folks in Texarkana. Texarkana is, I think, in the top 10 cities in Texas in fire deaths this year. So Red Cross, and I don't know all the behind it, government grants or whatever. Of course, Red Cross is a donation type company. They don't get any government funds.
They were, of course, this is the Northeast Texas chapter. True,
true. But so does the other groups that are
there? They are planning on maybe going to like College Hill, mm-hmm. in that area.
Yeah.
But
mainly on the Texas side.
Any thoughts on that? Would we be interested in?
That's a little far away yet, to be honest with you. I'm speaking for myself.
Obviously. Well, I mean, we can bring it up at the
when do you have to
February
get
meeting and see what kind of interest we draw.
There you go.
How soon do you have to get back with them or get with these people? Or is it you that does it?
I think the last item is, do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
You got lots of motions.
That's the way to do it, I mean.
I think we
did we get a second?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
We got lots of motions, lots of seconds, lots of questions.
I think
we're
all those in